Hello, Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. Okay, we are on the air. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live, everyone. Boy, do we have a show for you tonight. A really hot discussion on race in America. And we're going to be talking to, we hope to get on the air, Dr. Glenda Taylor, you know, who is one of the most prolific writers on Black America, Black history, has a ton of books out, and she is has more credits, more, degrees in American history, Black history, than any other person that I've ever talked to while being on the air. So we're hoping to get to her as soon as possible. By the way, we're also being joined, of course, with Wayne Gilman and Byron Saunders, who will be calling it a little later. We're waiting for Glenda to call in now, and we hope to be hearing from her very soon. So we can, we're listening for Glenda. Some of the things I wanted to talk to her about, you know, was about race primarily, okay? She has this wonderful article, I think it was part of her speaking about her 100th degree, and it's about race, and it is absolutely wonderful. When you read this, you will be in total shock. It is a walking history book about slavery and about, you know, the movement, and you can use it in your classrooms, as a matter of fact, and I completely recommend, you know, Glenda Taylor, because she's a wonderful author. And she is still with us, wonderfully enough. And we were waiting to hear if we can get through to her. But anyway, how are you, everyone? Let's see if we can get Glenda on the phone right now. I think it might be a 718 number. Hello, Glenda? Are you there?
Hi, that's Kay.
Wayne?
It's
okay.
Wayne.
Wayne Gilman.
Hi, how you doing?
Not too good right now. I'm waiting for Glenda.
I'm sorry.
So what's up? While we're waiting for her to call in, Wayne, what's up with you?
Well, I miss being on with you guys. And, of course, you know, I need not report say any more than I have. I mean, you are my inspiration, Kay. I know
I
no one like you. And I just want to publicly say that, you know, I was at the Apollo Theater yesterday. We were talking about you and, you know, recently the circumstances you and your family have suffered. And, you're just a beautiful spirit, and how you handle life has been a lesson to me. And I don't want to sound maudlin because I know that's not the purpose of the show and all that, but I just wanted to take a moment to publicly tell you how I feel about you, lady. And, I'm sorry that I don't spend enough time, but you're always there in the back of my mind. And Sheila E. Also said hello. And,
hey,
you know, hopefully
really?
They'll
no
be in
kidding.
Contact
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Right,
terrific.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 125th Street has changed from what you know it to be like. At least to me. I don't know.
Has it really?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, I guess like in Newark, gentrification has been in Harlem for a long time, but it's just amazing places that you want to go to eat, and it's not there anymore. You know, there's a Caribbean shop I used to patronize all the time to buy roti from my country and places like that. And the deal is, it's a PC Richards now. And I wanted to go to another place I used to patronize back in the day, and it's a Citibank. You know, it's like everything has changed. And the only thing that has not changed are the vendors, the Black vendors who are up and down on the street selling their wares along 125th Street.
Yeah.
But
let's say hello to Byron, Wayne, and we also have another caller. And we're going to be trying to find out who this is. I'm not too good at that, you know, working this, you know, this board here. So Lisa, my daughter Lisa, is here with me. So bear
with
us.
Hi, Lisa.
Let's see who is next on the air here. Byron?
This is Byron.
Yeah.
Good evening, all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happy Black History Month. A little short piece of history that everybody should know about. It was on this date, in 1820, the Mayflower of Liberia left New York City. And on this date, in 1820, the Mayflower of Liberia set sail. This was the first organized Black immigration back to Africa. And it began with 86 free Blacks that left the New York Harbor aboard the ship, the Elizabeth, which was called the Mayflower of Liberia. And they were bound for the British colony of Sierra Leone, a country that welcomed free Blacks from America as well as fugitive slaves. And it arrived on March 9th, 1820. Now, in salute of this, my grandmother's first cousin, my grandmother Beulah Meacher, her first cousin was the first and seventh president of Liberia.
Wow.
So my roots, my connections started on this day, 1820, on the Mayflower of Liberia, on the first organized Black immigration back to Africa.
Wow. Wow. Listen, we're going to put you on hold for a minute, Byron. We have to go through another call. I don't know who this is, but we have to go through to another line.
Everyone,
would you
like to ask a question?
Are you on the air? Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Kay, it's Alvin Hartley. Can you hear me?
Alvin?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hey, Kay. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Alvin, how you doing?
Trying to stay young.
We'll talk a little more.
Yeah, Kay's the only one who's keeping us young.
Yeah, you better believe it. Well, anyway, how are you, Alvin?
Oh, great. I thank you for allowing me to come on for the few minutes to continue talking about the HBCU bus tours. I'm not only HBCU bus tours, but we're doing national bus tours, so we're touring all colleges now. And
okay.
Want, well,
now I know. Yeah. Okay. How can people find out about it? This is to the Black colleges?
Absolutely. Not only Black colleges. Say, you know, CUNYs and SUNYs are free if you're making $100,000 or less. So we're doing CUNY and SUNY tours for anyone that lives in the state of New York. You'd be surprised how many folks don't even know about how many CUNYs and SUNYs are in the state of New York. So we're doing those separate tours as well.
Uh-huh.
Besides HBCUs. But something else very unique.
You want to tell people how?
Sure.
How can people find out more information about
it? No problem. NationalCollegeBusTours.com. NationalCollegeBusTours.com.
Okay. Say that again. The National College Bus Tours. NationalCollegeBusTours.com.
.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they can actually put together a tour right online, and we will actually put together a sample tour.
Fantastic.
And show them exactly what a tour looks like, which is very, very important. But I wanted to address something else. If I have a minute, Kay.
Yeah, I'll give you a minute. Go ahead.
Thank you. Wayne was saying that a lot of the community stores and businesses are going out of business because of gentrification. But I know you spoke with Mal. We own for now 7 years a full business solution company. And we're funding all types of companies, and we're helping companies grow. Because funds is a very difficult thing to get access to. But if you're a business, we actually will help you get the funds, because funds is just about the paperwork, okay? That's all it
is. I had forgotten that Mal was involved with that, right? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. We're funding companies. We funded a client about a month and a half ago for $106,000 in 6 hours.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So how can people get in touch?
They can actually go, they can call 347, let me do my number right, 917-443-8573. That's 917-443-8573. And if you do call me, tell me that you heard it on the Kay Thompson Show so we can get to you immediately. Very,
all right.
Very important.
Now, once again, give that number out.
917-443-8573. And we're making, we're changing a lot of people's lives.
Okay.
Another
all
thing
right.
too, Wayne. Another thing too, Wayne. You have a lot of, you have a lot of stores of restaurants that's been out here for a couple of years. They're afraid to franchise. They're afraid to franchise. And franchise, it doesn't mean you put your money in. Franchise only means you duplicate it and people buy the franchising rights. And you live off the royalty of those restaurants. People are afraid to franchise.
Wait a minute. What is your website?
TMI, too much information. That's TMIUM. TMIUM.com.
Okay. Okay. All right. So people have this information?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You were saying, Wayne?
And that is.
No, I'm just curious as to what's behind the fear because. I mean, according to our esteemed Orange Man, we're in a good economy right now, you know, and the sky's the limit. Why is it that, you know, people are so reluctant to participate in that kind of activity of franchises?
Couple of things. The fear of not knowing, the fear of too much work, the fear of failure. And the fear that they have to put their own money in. They don't understand franchising. You can, there's so many restaurants out here. You know, we've been doing great in our neighborhood, but they don't understand the foods that they've been serving is not popular in other states. It's not popular in other countries. People pay to have the right to take your product and do it in other countries. And you live off the royalty.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, this is a very deep, you know, situation
sure.
here. I'd like to,
sure.
you know, because I know Kay's expecting another call, and I'm trying to be,
I'm expecting Glenn,
you know,
but
understanding
listen,
about the
listen,
circumstances time-wise. But,
Wayne, I'm expecting Glenda Taylor to call. And, yes, we can talk about this, you know, for a certain period of time. But we do have another caller on the line. But I am interested in hearing more about this. So maybe we can set up so that you can also join us next week. How would that be?
Kay.
Hello.
Like Wayne. Yes, Kay.
Okay.
I'm at your pleasure. I admire you. You've been a role model to me as well. So if tell me to stand outside every day, I will stand outside for you. You have to bow to the queen.
Let me have your number.
I had first dibs.
Okay. Wait a minute. We have another caller, and we have to go through that. So what do we go through? Hello?
Hello?
Alvin, thank you.
You're welcome.
Alvin, we have another caller calling from the 732 area code. Hello, you're on the air.
This is just Mal Wolfolk just joining the conversation. Don't shoo Alvin away from me. Just calling in to say hello. Hello, Kay. Hello, Wayne. Hello, Alvin.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Mal.
Mal, how are you?
Yes. I'm okay.
Yeah, good. It's great. Yeah. We were hearing about,
yep.
the your friend there. And,
oh, no, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, Alvin is doing a great job. I was listening in, as always. So
yeah.
A lot of great things.
Great.
We're just trying to help folks as much as we can and have them know that, you know, it's a friendly place.
Mm-hmm. Very
you know,
friendly.
Yeah, in other words, that, you know, in addition to the things that Alvin mentioned, you know, very often people from certain communities do not receive a warm reception when they go for help.
Mm.
And they're put in situations where they're quizzed seemingly with the intent to embarrass them,
uh-huh.
you know, for not knowing things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the reality.
Yeah.
So, you know, in our effort to put our pieces together, you know, from the WMBE solution, business solution universe, you know, we are that community. So we're empathetic, sympathetic, understanding, and since all of us have been in businesses ourselves, small businesses ourselves along the way, you know, we truly understand when people come to us for help, how critical it is for them to get an inspired reception and an encouraging reception and an understanding reception. You know, folks have had a hard time, missteps have been made, money has been made and lost for all kinds of reasons, and we've put our organization together to repair those circumstances that we know prevail, where folks throughout, you know, for no reason of their own, have had a bad turn and couldn't, as other people in other communities sometimes can, just go to the bank and get another $500,000 and start again.
And you've been involved with this for a long period of time. So you guys know the ins and outs of what you have to do, you know, and you have more information for people wanting to continue their education or continue any
Absolutely.
Other business, I would imagine. Okay? Yeah.
Continue
so,
and grow.
Yeah,
we've been together for
30 really
years. We've been together for over 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, over 30 years. Mal is my mentor, just like Wayne is my mentor.
Ah.
So, so now, so, well, so what's happening here is that I've been blessed to have access to all these Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies that want to work with minorities because it makes good business sense.
Uh-huh.
So the general market is saturated with their competitors. So they have to go other places to make more money. So everyone's starting to turn to the minority in community and say, listen, let's do some business with you because you guys look like this is a whole market we haven't tapped into. So like Mal says, when you go to individual and you say, look, I can help you, I got money, they look at you like, what's the catch? There's no catch. There's no catch. And that's one of the fears.
And if you don't mind me, I'm back, and I just wanted to quickly ask, how easy is it to apply for getting loans, even if you're not formally of a corporation, but you're running a business?
Okay, you have to remember, it's very difficult to get a loan as a DBA because the majority of your lending institutions are lending to corporations, LLCs, or S-Corp or C-Corp, which is nothing. You
right.
can become an LLC at a drop of a dime. Okay? The trick But the trick of it is that you guys heard a lot about people, they would get a business, they put a business on the shelf to let the business mature. You've heard that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The trick of that is that it takes you out of the startup category and puts you into, well, you've been in business for 2 or 3 years. Regardless if it was sitting on the shelf, time is in your favor. So now, So now, what you do is when you, are they fun?
Did I teach you that? Because you said I was your mentor. I don't know, because my tenants don't seem to act that way. I need to sit down and talk to you about that.
You've always taught me about public relations. You taught me about a lot about marketing. You taught me about the radio industry. Don't forget, I used to run out of your office, and I used to run into Miles' booth.
That's where the money is.
Right. So I used to run to everybody's section, and they're like, what are you doing now? I was always that guy that was running around the place. I was like that little Puff Daddy that was running around everything trying to learn the entire industry. But now that I have access to all this money, Mal and I, we've been blessed. We are now, for 4 years now, we run the diversity department for a $200 million company. I'm trying to give money away, and I can't give money away.
Well, you can give it right here. You can give it right here to the show. Listen, you come on my show and saying you will have you have money to give away, right?
85723.
You have to go. What I'm saying here is that a lot of small businesses, they're suffering, and I know you are very aware of this, Kay. When you get a contract with like a big corporation, they hurt you 30, 60, 90 days, and now you're going out of business. Well, factoring is a huge, plays a huge role in that. So I get to get your money to you a little bit faster for a couple of pennies on a dollar, so you can keep the lights on, so that you can operate your company. That's important.
I hope people are listening to this. Yeah.
But here's the beautiful thing, and I'm telling you, I am blessed to be sat by some of these big companies, and they taught me, Kay. You know how deep that is when they open the playbook and show you how the game is played? That's huge. So, you know me, I'm reading the book all night long. But here's another thing, Kay. The beautiful thing about it, you ever heard of purchase order financing where you're just a supplier and you go and you bid for a contract? You want to know something, Kay? Thompson can sit in her house and just look on a computer and bid for jobs. She wins the job. I would put the money up for the supplier to pay for the supply, ship it to your client. Your client then will pay the bill, and the check comes to me in your name in a drop box. I take back my money. I take my few dollars off, and I wire the money into your account. How much money did you put out your pocket, Kay?
Nothing.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that only applies to business, though. I mean, it's not like it sounds almost similar to a TransUnion program I just recently found out about, but that only applies to real estate. But you're talking about business in this case.
Yeah, as long as you're a corporation or LLC, you can play in this game.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Not a DBA.
So how can people get to you?
Same telephone number.
Say it again.
917? I'll do the professional voice. Yes, that's right. That's 917-443-8573. Oh, that's right. That's 917-443-8573. And if you act right now, make sure you say that you heard it right here on Kay Thompson Show.
Yeah, because I'm going to get a percentage. I hope.
No,
I
do
wish.
Not laugh at that. Don't. Excuse me? Do not laugh at that, because that's how business is done.
No, I'm not
it's
laughing,
legal.
Really.
Oh, please do not. And that's the thing. We must share in the wealth. We must bless each other. There's enough money. I have to bless you as you bless somebody else. And someone's listening.
Exactly.
They're going to bless. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody else
does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
you've been on here a long time, Kay. People are supposed to pay for your service, pay for your knowledge.
What makes you think
that's
they're not?
That's what they're supposed to.
That's great information, Mal.
Yeah. Listen, we'll have to talk more about this later. We'll have to talk more about this later. That's really a lot of information that a lot of people need to hear. And we'll have you back on again, right, Wayne? Right, Byron?
Certainly.
Yeah, because
I'm going to be in contact with him tomorrow. I can tell you that much.
The essence of it all is in history.
Right now, guys, we're going to switch it to politics. I want to hear your opinions on. Thank you, Alvin. Is that it?
Oh, no. Yes, I was yielding. I yield the floor. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very
much,
ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. I'm trying to see this. You know, things are moving a little bit strange here. Okay. I'm still waiting for it. Thank you, Mel. No, you can stay there. Stay there. But I'm trying. Yeah, we're trying to stop. I'm trying to talk politics. Not that I like that person in the White House, because that's an impossibility. He's not human. He's, well, anyway. So last night, let's go over some things that happened last night during the, what is it, State of the State or the State of the Union or whatever it was he was trying to do, you know, and making everybody angry again. How long is he going to be there? Anybody?
Well, I think constitutionally, not long.
Yeah.
How long? That's a good question. Constitutionally, they're moving towards the ultimate outcome with the Democratic Congress now putting the final checks and balances on all three of the government equal branches. And the last night was the first gauntlet thrown down by the Democratic Congress. And you will begin to see the first committee met today was on gun violence. And that's how long have we not had a committee, congressional committee hearing on gun violence? Every week we are getting another situation in which in this country, domestic issues or domestic terrorism is front and center. And it's all about a gun. And yet, there was not a mumbling word about guns issues, race issues, or voter suppression in his 1 hour and 23 minute presentation, which I got to tell you, Charles Blow called it nothing but cookies and dog poop. And that's exactly what his presentation was.
And are you trying to
and
say that the president
you?
Is full of, is full of, you know what?
Well, full of
you
sugar,
said,
honey, iced tea,
dog.
Yes.
You mentioned
absolutely.
Dog poop.
That's, well, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the sad part about it is that what a waste of our time. And then to have Sister Stacey Abrams come on and give the Democratic response that was 8 minutes of the most powerful presentation yet, and her ovation was better. That's right. She was absolutely
solid.
Yes. And that's what
powerful.
We need in our country right now. This is Black History Month. Bridge the opportunity to bring our people together. And this is day 6 of the 28 days. And how many more other days will the White House not give honor or even have a conversation with the Black Congressional Caucus? Have a conversation with our communities? He's so interested in Chicago. What about Flint, Michigan, a predominantly Black city that's still dealing with its water issues? This is the moment. Seize the time. Carpe diem. And if he can't do it, Stacey Abrams can. That's my take.
That's a good take. And she's powerful. She is absolutely powerful.
Very.
And we're going to be finding out that more and more Black women are being, you know, and Hispanic women. Absolutely. I'm talking to Lisa at the same time.
Absolutely.
And Hispanic women and also Asian women, you know.
And
you also are, you
women.
Know, the East Indian community is getting involved there in some areas, I understand. So,
and
you know,
all the women who wore white last night. That was, did you see the dichotomy? The women in white, you looked on the Republican side of the Congress there last night, and all old white men. Then you look on the Democratic side, and you see America's diversity. And thank goodness the women celebrated their victory, because back in the day when Susan B. Anthony and they got the right to vote, women marched in Washington and they wore white. That was symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what our history has to teach us. And I'm telling you, none of that is being taught in our schools today, and that's the failure of our public education.
What?
teaching them about our history.
I am amazed at the lack of responses from some key politicians, though. I want to hear more from them. Cory Booker from Newark, New Jersey. He was on all day yesterday. You know, Stacey, of course, you know, she was just on. You know, I want to hear more. I want them to have more airtime. So let's get that together.
Well,
let's seek them out. And I'm going to make it our business here to bring them out and let them know that they have a whole numbers of communities behind them. Okay?
Well, you know,
so they need not be afraid
about
entering into the fray of voting for or running for office, because we do have something to contribute. We are a powerful people. And the women
are
more powerful than any other community.
And Kay, one other thing I want to just say with respect to the moment that we are involved in. It was our votes that gave the tsunami of the blue wave in Congress this year. And yet Stacey did not win, neither did Mr. Gilliam in Carolina, or rather Florida. But what was impressive is that our votes mean a lot. And if you're going to be run for office, whether you're black, white, male, female, whatever your religious persuasion, if you're going to come to our community, don't come to our community for a church visit with just a glad hand and an opportunity, because you leave before the service is over anyway. You better come with an agenda and some policy.
I'm right.
Because our vote is not cheap. We want solutions. And that's what the politicians have to come with this time around, because we'll put you in office, but don't come up in here tap dancing with us. That day is over. Cool days
is the responsibility of the. But isn't it the responsibility
of the millennials? Okay. Especially with the millennials. They are really on the ball. And they're going to be forming and combating, you know, fellow Americans. Yeah, that too. At least Ms. Tony, that they need to vote more. Yes, and they're gathering in different states, I understand. More of a voice. Yes, to have more of a voice in Congress. Can you hear me?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm asking you. You can hear me.
Yeah, isn't that the responsibility of the pastor? Because the pastor and you're right. It's because one has to look at the pastor and say, listen, we need to set a criteria. So when they come in, if they can't come in and do something a little longer than come up and speak before the collection plate go around, why are you here? You know, need to stop. We don't want to hear your presentation. We want to interact. We want to ask you questions. We want to understand what you're thinking. You need to understand what we're thinking. I'm sorry if you got your schedule filled, but we're not a drive-by. So it's the responsibility of the pastor. The pastor, I'm going to call it what it is. You know, I understand it, because church, to a certain degree, is about business. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's the truth. But you cannot take the congregation...
Church is about also, that's right, but church is also about five core principles that every pastor and every leader, political or not, they need to understand. You're in office to do five things for the people: feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and give hope to the hopeless. And if you can't do any of those five things as your prima facie for agenda, get out of the race, because you're there pimping the system.
How do you do that? But that's what you're saying, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, how, lay those five plans out. How are you going to do
that's
it?
Right.
And how can we participate? Here we go.
That's right.
How can participate, so when you need it to be passed through, we are participating. We're no longer going to vote for you and say, go about and take care of the business. We officially will participate and hang with you and stay with you. So there's no more backroom deals. We will be here.
Yeah, exactly.
But we do not want
exactly.
you to put – we put you in office, and then we watch you on television, and you're saying you're representing us. But meanwhile, we got people in our own community because, you know, that ain't got no food or have no housing. And we watch,
exactly.
like what Wayne said, the buildings are going up. People are losing their homes.
Also, Byron, also, what do we do about the numbers of black men incarcerated? Okay? The incarceration rates are
yes.
growing, I understand. So what can be done, and what should the community do, and what should our politicians do? First of all, you know, the key thing is to get that nitwit out of office in the sitting in the presidential seat, and then try to, you know, solve some of these real serious, you know, problems in our community. You know, think of the families without the men that are incarcerated.
Exactly. And Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative in Montgomery, Alabama, is a leading proponent of the that particular issue in our community. And equal justice, it is about prison reform. There's a sister in D.C., Nikichi, who is one of the foremost speakers on prison reform. Our community leaders, there are there. It is up to us, like our black radio stations and our black newspapers, to bring those think tanks together, because on a national level, we just heard from the foremost leading black politician give her rendition of the State of the Union response from the Democratic Party on behalf of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a voice now, and you're asking the right question, Kay. What do we do? Now we bring those initiatives, those people who have been tagged and identified as those who are foremost leaders in the reform. It's not Jared Kushner. Thank you. For being
and
a figurehead
also,
there. But it's our brothers and sisters that have to take the room.
And also, Byron and Wayne, what do we do about these politicians running around in blackface with that kind of buffoonery? Okay? And all the sexual misconduct in Virginia.
For the governor in Virginia, he can do us all a favor. Moonwalk your ass right on out of office, okay?
Let's do it soon.
How about that? And you know what? Here's the insult of it all about what he said. He did blackface representing his favorite person, Michael Jackson. Well, guess what? The insult you gave to Michael Jackson was, here's a brother that suffers from vitiligo, and you're telling me you're honoring a person who suffers from a disease that splotches his blackness? And you're going to put blackface on, and then your excuse is because it's too hard to wipe it off? Well, what do you think Michael Jackson has to go through or had to go through suffering from vitiligo? You didn't honor him. You insulted him. Vitiligo,
mm-hmm.
Thank you. But you understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying, because at the point at which that's your excuse, that's lame. It's unacceptable.
mm-hmm.
But again, it goes back down to, here's where it gets down to. If you really look at it, white folks, I would not ever say that every white person is a racist in America. I think that's a ridiculous thing to say. But you have a certain portion of white America who just don't get it, and they literally don't get it, because they think what they do, they don't understand, what did I do wrong? But there's something else going on here in America. No, watch this. I used to work with Ricky Lake's show. I think all of us remember Ricky Lake.
Absolutely.
I did 3 episodes with her. She would always call me on an episode if they had a white person that didn't like black people. And okay? So you know those shows you're supposed to argue and fight and act like you're crazy. What I would tell them in the green room, I said, we're not going to argue. We're not going to fight in front of the camera. But my responsibility was, is the camera took them around for a day. I took them to my home. I took them to the black restaurant. I took them into the park. Every show when they came back, they said, you know something? I didn't understand any of this. We had a white boy, 14 years old. He was about to join the KKK. When he came back on the show, he says, man, this is ridiculous. I didn't know. I didn't understand black folks. I really, everything that these people were telling me were wrong.
You want to know what I'm doing right now? Excuse me. You want to know what I'm doing right now? I'm looking at a picture of Rosa Parks. You know, I got I had an opportunity to interview Rosa Parks.
Wow.
Face to face. And that interview is 17 minutes. Okay? I also got the opportunity to interview Dennis Brutus, who was in the cell next to Nelson Mandela. And I have this all on CDs. Long time ago. Comment? Talking about heroes.
We need it. Yeah, we need to hear those. You got the archives. You're the grand dame of black radio, Kay. And you.
Yeah, sure.
You're the repository of those kinds of tapes, are the kinds of answers we seek and need to bring back into our community. Because remember this.
Exactly.
The Underground Railroad. Every stop you receive, how to be free. And if those words of wisdom are needed to share with those who are now the young activists, our kids, they need to hear them. But it's not being taught in school. This is the sixth day of Black History Month. What did they learn today?
And a lot of the schools,
I just gave
Black
a piece
history,
of history.
Wait a minute.
That's
wait,
right.
Wait a minute, Byron, wait a minute. That's not correct. Look, I taught schools. I'm very involved with, you know, the school system here in New Jersey, okay, the different school systems. And black history is being taught in some of the schools.
It's a mandate.
Okay? Not
That's
nearly
right.
enough, but there's, you know, there's a very, very deep interest in, mainly because of the fact that the people in our community, mainly the women, are keeping it alive. And so many women are getting ready to run for office. Okay, other than, you know, the some people that are listed, you know, and you hear on the news and, you know, the other media. But anyway, so we are powerful, and we need to use it.
Yes.
So
yes.
People need to vote. They need to vote. You have voting is power. And if you don't know that, it's pathetic.
Correct.
Bingo.
So we must
Shall
make
we
those
talk
changes.
About black business? Shall we talk
well,
about black
well,
business?
I would like to just leave one other thing about the governor and his in the state of Virginia.
Oh,
see,
the governor's boring. He's a pain in the butt.
Well, the issue is not just the governor, and because the state of Virginia itself, remember, Appomattox was, I know that's our state. We got relatives there, but Appomattox was in in Virginia. That's where General Lee.
So was Caswell.
Yes, and Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy. And Monticello is where Jefferson enslaved and raped Sally Henney. That stuff is not being taught in the schools. So you're asking the great question, and I salute the mandate in the state of New Jersey to teach black history, but how many – we
listen,
have 49
listen, hold on, hold on. You will find in the Donald Payne High School in Newark, New Jersey, with a black history being taught, okay?
That's right.
Mainly in Newark.
The Amistad.
Okay?
The Amistad.
I grew up in Elizabeth, taught in Newark. Okay, was on the air in Newark. So Newark has a good school system.
Yeah.
And with the Payne University, I forget the exact name of it, but it's a Donald Payne College. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's on around South 13th Street in Newark, New Jersey. You have to see it. It is technically more advanced than any other school I have seen in New York and New Jersey. Okay?
Right, right.
So New Jersey may be a little bit ahead of the game, and people don't know about it.
The
then again, there's some that they're, then
is,
again, there's
is,
some down in South Jersey that they're still in Oxford. So, but anyway. So what else, guys?
You were saying what's next on the agenda for Black History Month? What did we wanted to talk about? Black? What was that, Kay?
Oh, no. Talking.
Okay.
You want me to tell it? I can pull out a history book right now. I've told history.
Right.
You know, I told you about Listen, I interviewed all... Remember James Baldwin?
Yeah.
You know how impatient
Absolutely.
He was? I have a clip on him. Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of stuff here that you all need to see.
I'm,
but anyway,
I can't wait to hear you say.
Yeah. And see it, because some of it I have on videotape, believe it or not. It was years and years and years ago. So, and I kept a whole lot of stuff, especially on Wayne Gilman.
Ah. The dossier
Wayne,
is
you there? All good stuff, Wayne. Hello.
I think maybe he's lost. We lost him for a second. He got scared. Okay. You said you had the file on Wayne, and he's like, he was out of here. Oh my goodness! Don't be scared, Wayne. Don't be scared. Oh my goodness! Interesting.
You better
indeed.
Call back the drone. Get back on the air.
Yes.
But anyway, also, you know, Mal, you know, has a company. Mal Wolfer has a company that you know, provides information about Black colleges, and that is a very serious, thing they're doing. I forget the name of the company. I think Mal is not—he's not on the air right now. Yeah, because it's gonna get getting late. But anyway,
I'm here.
Oh, about the Black
right. It's called the National NationalCollegeBusTours.com, and we do HBCU tours, and we do CUNY and SUNY tours, and then we do regional tours. That means we can do a bus tour anywhere in the country.
Wow. Mm.
So if you're concentrating on HBCU, we can if someone's in California, it depends what tour they want with HBCU, they'll land in that particular hub. So you can land in
you
Charlotte.
You have to tell them what HBCU means. Historical what?
Historically black
right.
colleges and universities.
Right.
That's what they're called.
Right.
And HBCUs are you know, striving to stay afloat. But I believe not only will they survive, they are again some of the best institutions in America, more and more people are going to HBCUs. And I mentioned last time, okay, after 5 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of whites that go to HBCU in the evening.
I heard. I've been hearing that.
Yes. Yes. It's an affordable college. Education is education. No one's discriminating against a black teacher or a black professor. They want to go to school. They go to school in the evening, and they're getting their degree. It's a myth.
And Mal... We just had a very historic moment with Bennett College this past weekend. They were close to being shut down as a result of needing about 3 to 5 minutes. Yes, $3 to $5 million dollars to stay open. They raised over $8 million, and the school is
terrific.
Surviving. That's
terrific,
black power.
Terrific. Mm-hmm.
Black colleges, which I wish they would market themselves better. As I mentioned previously on your show, HBCUs take students, crush them, and they make diamonds out of them. It is not about the degree. It's about being the best in your profession.
Yes.
That's different than going to a college, paying your tuition, graduating, and getting a degree. When you come out of HBCU, you are sharp as a diamond because you have to compete.
Historical Black colleges, everybody. HBCU. And universities.
So my grandmother is a graduate of Fisk. My mother was a graduate of Fisk. My father, a graduate of Tennessee State University, and I'm a proud graduate of Hampton University. So generational. That's what we're talking about.
If you look in the historical information about Hampton, you will see more Thompsons, the name Thompson, than any other family in a certain period of time. So I have a special interest in Hampton University.
Well,
Eric Lynn,
I'm sorry.
I'm
very sorry you guys like Hampton. You should have really gone to my alma mater, Norfolk State. Norfolk State. That's right, baby. Right across the river.
Oh, my goodness.
And
now
it's you.
I know why you kept up my roof.
And
that's
you. I came across the river, took all you women. That's right.
Oh, stop.
You crossed the bridge, Mal.
God bless you. You stood by the tree of hope, the oak tree, and saw all that beauty there. I know
that's
you did.
Right. I was sneaking over there every night.
Do you all realize? Hey, listen, do you all realize you are telling on yourself?
Oh, it's okay.
On the internet.
Hey.
For the world to hear.
Now, Mal, here's the one you know that nobody else will know what we're talking about. Strawberry Fields. Strawberry Fields is not just in Central Park, okay?
Let's talk about
yourself. Oh, Lord. There you go. All of that's so important.
And Mal, I got to tell you, for 2.5 years, I went to the University of Kansas. When I got transferred to Hampton, I thought I died and went to heaven. That's how beautiful.
Brother?
I am serious. Okay.
We have to go.
Okay.
Eric is calling in. He's in Washington.
Hey, everybody.
Is he in Washington?
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, okay. He's here.
Yep.
Yeah. Eric, are you there?
You guys. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? I'm just walked in the door. Was listening to you guys on the way up. Good show, gentlemen. I guess we're getting ready to be over now. But was down in D.C. I did not go to the State of the Union. The congressman went. I didn't want to be close to possibly getting struck by lightning. So, I didn't want to listen to Agent Orange. But it's a little bit more festive now that they have a sea of diversity down there that they had to look at. I don't know if you guys noticed real quick. I know we got to jump off the air. But how it was being covered, that a lot of times they wouldn't show the whole chamber. You know, the shot over the president's head, they show the whole chamber sometimes so you can see both sides of the room. Democrats and Republicans, it seemed that they were favoring the left side. And I asked my cousin, I mentioned that to my cousin, and he said, well, the White House might have told them to do that, just to show the Republican side. Because, that guy's willing to do anything. And, people in El Paso called him a liar when he made up that story about the wall in El Paso. It was the complete opposite.
Exactly.
So my cousin was just tripping on how they just lie, and to lie with impunity. We weren't brought up that way. We actually felt guilty every time we lied. So it's just always bizarre, bewildering to us how people can lie like that. But that's what they do. On the way down to D.C., I was listening to Khalil Muhammad, so I'm on some other stuff. So I heard Brother Alvin talking about how, doesn't believe that all people, white people are racist. I don't believe that either. But sometimes you get a little amped up when you're dealing with some of the stuff. And I didn't go to the Hill. I do want to go down since this president's been in office just to see the vibe. But my ride down there, there was an individual on the train who needed to be corrected with his attitude. So I did that real quick and kept it moving. So I'll just cut off now.
Real quick,
if you get a chance, go see The Upside with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston. Ironically, I think Kevin Hart and the movie would have been nominated for an Oscar as that caliber movie. So it's just ironic that Kevin Hart decided not to host the Oscars, because this movie is something that would have been possibly brought him an Oscar nomination.
Okay.
So that's
good
it for
to
me.
Hear that. All right.
What's the name of it?
Well,
what's the name of that
the
movie?
The Upside.
Yeah.
All right.
We're
called
up
The Upside.
Yeah.
You guys going to sign off, right?
Yes. Very shortly, 90 seconds. Very, very shortly.
Peace,
they're telling
peace and love. Peace and love always.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Kate Thompson Live Show. Citizen Payne, Wayne Gellman, Byron Saunders, and you are a lady.
Kate Thompson.
I am.
Listen to us every week.
There you
8
go.
8 o'clock,
right.
Wednesday. And you are? Close it
I'm
out.
Eric Payne and
Byron.
I'm here. Peace and love always.
Goodbye, everyone. Good night. Have a nice time.
Good night.
Good night.